As you can see by the title, I have entitled this message today, Speaking by the Spirit. However, before we get into the message, I felt it was important for us to, with the special Sunday that it is, with us doing the Vikings versus Packers game afternoon activity, watching the game together and just having some fun, I felt like it was important for to make a disclaimer. So I would invite you all to please listen to this.
Any comments made by the pastor regarding the Packers versus Vikings football game are his own opinions. And although they are the right ones, they are not necessarily endorsed by Praise Fellowship Church or its members. In fact, some of the members choose to disagree and even oppose the pastor's viewpoints. Although heckling the pastor during the message is not encouraged, yet some people of the congregation, especially Packers fans, feel it is important to share a balanced view no matter how wrong it is. We can only pray that much discretion will be used and that you will not be adversely affected by this exchange. May the peace of the Lord be with you.
See, we had to do that. Are you going to heckle me already? You already forgave me. No need of forgiveness. I've done nothing wrong. I know, watch it. But because this gets recorded, because it goes out on CD form, because it goes out on the internet, I just felt like it was appropriate to make that disclaimer before a lot of people heard and heard all the heckling that probably will not happen now that you have heard this... the concern there about that. So anyway, let's go on. We do have a message, a serious message today. And I would like to review, I believe this is going to be the last message in this series. I say that, you know, giving the Lord the last vote on that, because there may be something else that comes up that I'm just, you know, not in tune to at this point. But feeling like I really have accomplished or attempted to accomplish the goal set out for this series of messages where we were talking about filled with the Spirit or a Spirit-filled life, Spirit-filled living. And the things that we intended to cover in this was, first of all, the purpose of that filling of the Holy Spirit is to receive from the Lord the power to be a dynamic witness with authority. We'll even see some of those scriptures again today as we've talked about how the Spirit of God equips us and enables us to be a witness for the Lord with the authority that comes from the Lord. We also discovered that the Spirit of God is the one who is our teacher, the one who gives us truth, leads and guides us into all truth, reveals things to come. The truth of the Scripture is given to us, imparted to us by the Spirit of God, that anointing on the inside of us that does not make us simply dependent upon other people teaching us, because we have the Spirit of God revealing truth on the inside of us. Also, helping give us direction and preparation for things to come. In that same passage of Scripture where it says that the Spirit of God leads and guides us into all truth, it also says, and reveals those things which are to come, or shows us the future. The reason why God does that is so that we can be led by the Spirit into the direction that He has for us, and we can even be forewarned about things that are up ahead. We see examples of that in Scripture. When Paul was going to face the opposition, when he was going to be bound, the Spirit of God through the prophet Agabus came and warned him about that, and he said, you know, all the people start saying, don't go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound, you're going to be imprisoned. He says, so what? He says, I'm willing to die for the Lord. So those warnings will come so that we know how to face what's ahead of us. And the Spirit of God also, again, is involved in that. Also for effective prayer, we talked about praying by the Spirit and a heavenly prayer language that enables us to, for the Spirit of God to connect together with our spirit, to speak out and to pray out those things that are according to the will of God when we don't know how to pray as we ought. We also talked about expressing the character of God with authority. The character of God we see especially through the fruit of the Spirit. We see the divine character and nature of God, and 1 Peter speaks about us sharing in the divine character of God, being partakers together with Him in His divine nature. And so we want to be able to express with the authority that God imparts to us, what he is like. We need to be an appropriate representation of him to the world. And he enables us to do that, again, by the Spirit of God equipping us, imparting the fruit of the Spirit, so that when we're attached to the vine, we're going to bear that fruit, bear much fruit, and prove that we are his disciples. Also to express the power of God with authority. We saw that mostly when we were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How God imparts by the Spirit, he imparts gifts to each one so that the whole can be blessed, be encouraged, be stirred, be challenged. We can deliver God's gifts of power to people that are around us and minister by his power, not just with our intellect or with our persuasive words. When Paul came to the Corinthians, he said, I did not come with persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the power of God or the Spirit's power, so that your faith might be in the power of God and not in the wisdom of man. So God imparts to us or enables us to impart his power to those that are around us to again express himself, his character, his nature with that authority that he imparts to us. Also then finally, this is where we're at today, to communicate effectively with words, with authority, and to realize that we have that source on the inside of us called the Spirit of God that will enable us to speak God's words to other people into situations where it's not just dependent upon us with having a good memory or us preparing a lot ahead of time to know exactly what to say in every situation and, you know, be like a president getting ready for the debate. You got to anticipate every question. It's not like that. What it is it's relying on the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the God of the universe being able to impart to you knowledge that you need to be able to speak forth on his behalf. We'll see examples of that in Scripture, but it's something that we need to understand. That's a resource that we have as believers that we can, with the authority of God, speak an effective word that's going to make a significant impact on other people and for us to be ready to do that. So let's start by talking about the Spirit speaking through you and look at a couple of passages of Scriptures. If you have your Bibles with you or if you have Scripture on your iPhone or iPad, I'd encourage you to open that up. Look with me, follow together with me. I am reading from the New Living Translation, and I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 10 and verses 16 through 20. I'll just read a few verses. I'll actually read through up of part of 18 and then just give you a few comments with the notes that you have in your sermon notes. So Matthew 10, starting with verse 16. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. So here's a few statements we want to make right off the bat. With Jesus talking to his disciples, he says, first of all, I'm sending you out. And every one of us are in that same place where the Lord intends for us to be sent out. We are sent out from our homes. We are sent out from our families. We are sent out from this congregation to go and be a witness for the Lord, to go and speak forth his word to others. However, at the same time, you are going to face, very, very likely, often face opposition because of your stand, because of your faith, because of people looking down on you and saying, well, you're just using Christianity as a crutch. That means you're weak or whatever. Or, you know, in these instances, these guys that we'll see examples of were really put up against some extreme odds in which they could and did even lose their lives as a result of their stand before the Lord. So Jesus is very plain with his disciples and says, you are going to face opposition. When you are there, you need to be shrewd as snakes, harmless as doves. Now, no one really likes snakes, but snakes know how to deal with things. They're shrewd, and so that's what it's talking about. And harmless as doves, that means that we're going to be able to respond in situations that's not going to create a great defensiveness. Sometimes it will, and we'll see examples of that still happening in Scripture. But what this is talking about is have a sense about how to respond in situations and be prepared. So we'll get into that more. But again, it says you will be put on trial. And that doesn't necessarily mean you'll stand in court and you're the defendant in court. But in situations in life, you're going to be put in that place where someone is challenging you It might be in a positive aspect where they're saying, you know, how can I have what you have? And you're put to the test in a sense that way. Or it might be an opposing kind of form that's more likely to be that. But when you're put on trial, you need to know how to be ready to respond. And that's where we go on with continuing on in verse 18. This is your opportunity to speak to unbelievers about Jesus. It says, but this will be, middle of 18, this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and others and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Thus the title of the message, Speaking by the Holy Spirit. Speaking by the Spirit. The Spirit of God speaking through you. So you're not to worry when you're put in those situations where it's a trial, where you have adversaries coming against you. Yes, you can be prepared, but in that preparation, you don't have to sit there and go, am I going to be able to say the right thing? And get all concerned and anxious about that, because it says that God will speak through you. It is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So again, don't worry about how to respond. Instead, understand this, that God will give you the right words. He will give you the right words because it is the Spirit speaking through you. Okay, let's move on to Luke chapter 24 and verses 46 through 49. I would encourage you to go ahead and turn your Bibles there or your electronic device to Luke chapter 24. And starting with verse 46, it says, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Okay, so here's some prophetic words that Jesus is speaking about. He says this was written a long time ago. Messiah would suffer, die, and rise on the third day. So he declared this was already written, but there was something else that was written, and that is that it was also written the message would be proclaimed. This message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to the nations. Okay, so here's the message. This message is going to be proclaimed. This is the message. There is forgiveness of sins for those who repent. Okay, so we got an awesome message. There's an awesome message to share, and that is the forgiveness of sins for those who repent. Well, who's going to share that message? Who are the ones that are going to declare that? If this is going to be declared, who is that? Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. Continue on in verse 48. Jesus said, you are witnesses of all these things, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. So he says, you're the ones that are going to be the witnesses. You're the ones that are going to go and declare these things about his death, burial, and his resurrection to all parts of the earth. You're going to go and declare these things. But wait. Wait to do this until you receive the power from the Lord, until you receive the Holy Spirit, that power from heaven. So here again, if we're going to be witnesses, and Jesus says, now wait till you receive the Spirit, who is it that's going to help us or enable us or empower us with authority to be witnesses? Jesus, by the Spirit of God, is going to empower us to do that. So we will be able to speak by the Spirit to be witnesses of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and to proclaim it to wherever God has placed us to declare that message. The intent is that we will be witnesses of those things, but not there on our own, that we will be witnesses empowered by the Spirit of God to do that. That's why Jesus said, now wait in Jerusalem until you receive that power from heaven so that you can be effective witnesses because you've got the Spirit of God enabling you to do that. Hallelujah. Okay, so then we're going to look at the scripture that speaks about being ready for those opportunities. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 13 through 16, 1 Peter 3, 13. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. So first of all, we understand there will be threats. It says don't be afraid of those threats. Don't be afraid of those threats. Remember Jesus' words that when you are brought before kings, when you're brought before those that are in authority, when you're brought to that place of trial where you have to respond, you don't have to worry about that time because the Spirit of God will give you the words to say. So you don't have to worry. So don't be afraid of the threats. And then it says, set apart Christ as Lord of your life, or another translation, I like it even better when it says, Lord in your hearts. Remember last week we talked about the problem of the divided heart. When actually in James it says that it called people adulterers because their hearts were divided between the world and God. You're committing adultery against God when you are friends with the world. Talking about divided hearts. And here it's saying, make Jesus the Lord of your heart, the Lord of your life. Don't have a divided heart. That's part of your preparation, being ready to respond for the hope that you have. It's a result of Jesus being set apart. Set apart means he's given that place of that number one in your life as the Lord of your life or Lord of your heart. And then it says, always be ready to explain the reason for your hope. We're going to look at that a little bit more to have you have the certainty that you are ready. You are ready to explain. It's very, very simple. God has given us a very simple and a very positive message. The gospel is good news. And sometimes I think we are just afraid of it being so confrontive that we're afraid to share the gospel with others. And it's so outside of what God has given us to do. He's given us good news to share. But it does go on to say, do it in a gentle and a respectful way. Do it in a gentle and a respectful way. In other words, now, and we will see some examples of it being confrontive. The Word of God is confrontive. But still, you respect people in their humanity. You respect other people as fellow human beings. You don't come off as condescending and that kind of thing, because then you put people on the defense and you lose that audience with them because of your disrespect. You can disagree, but still be respectful in that. So it's part of it is, again, going back to that fruit of the Spirit, having patience, having the love, having the character of God in you where his love abounds and covers a multitude of sins. You don't get on people's case. But anyway, we'll look at some more of that. But I do want to say this, that I can gently and respectfully tell you the reason for the hope that the Vikings will beat the Packers today. With gentleness and respect, with all due respect, realize that the Packers have an awesome quarterback. But is he out there playing? He's injured, broken collarbone, so he's on the bench. That is part of the hope that I have for the Vikings winning today. Because their awesome quarterback is on the bench. And not only that, they have a really good linebacker, Clay Matthews, and he's got beautiful hair. But he's on the bench too. He's not playing. He's an injured player. So that awesome team that the Packers has is just not all that awesome without their awesome players. So there is hope for the Vikings to win. Not only that, the Vikings have... Say what? Do I hear heckling happening?
You realize when we beat, remember,
yeah, come on, hold back this guy. We got this Adrian Peterson guy who's going to be out there blasting through their line of defense and making touchdowns. And I mean, it's just a strong part of our team. I'm not idol worshiping, remember that. Just stating the reason for the hope that I have, okay? And we're supposed to be ready to share the hope that I have. I'm just using this as an illustration, folks. Here's another reason for the hope. Both starting quarterbacks are equally bad. Last week, both of these guys, I think, threw three interceptions. You know, that's what I had in our announcement time. You know, that's the great contest. Who can throw the most interceptions? They're both doing bad last week. So anyway, that, you know, again, there's hope for the teams to equal out a little bit because we don't have a dominant quarterback on the Packers team this week anyway. So, and no matter who the quarterback is, they've got to face Jared Allen going after them. Even their star quarterback gets sacked by this guy. And so with that, I just share with you the reason for the hope that I have of the Vikings beating the Packers today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an oh me? For those that don't agree, you don't have to amen that. Just be quiet. All right. So anyway, but in all seriousness now, when it comes to our Christian hope, as it said in that passage of Scripture, always be ready to share the Christian hope that you have. And I'll share with you some passages that are not the pastor's opinion. These are the Word of God. So if you don't agree, you're coming up against God, not the pastor and his opinions. I can handle that. But don't go up against God in opposition to him and what his word is. For the hope that Christians have for that eternal life, for salvation, first of all, from John 3:16. And like I said, God has put it out there very simple for us to be able to be ready to share the hope that we have. And, you know, one thing I didn't do is flash up here on the screen one of those football events where they're holding up the sign, John 3:16. The camera sweeps by and catches that. John 3:16, and here it is. As God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is the gospel in its simplest form. It's because of God's love. It's because of Jesus, him giving Jesus to pay the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven for anyone who will believe in him. Now, I think it's important when we're talking about being ready, remember, you don't have to have the full knowledge of all of the scriptures to be ready to share this reason of the hope that you have. But there is another passage of scripture that really kind of gives detail to this verse, again, in a very simple form that is in very common and easy to understand language that enables us to give a little bit more detail about this passage right here, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 17 through 21. I'll go ahead and read that and then give you some comments for your sermon notes. 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Here is the simplicity of John 3:16 in a little more detail. First of all, it says that God is reconciling the world to himself. Reconciling means to bring back, and that's why it goes on to say come back to God. In other words, God created man, male and female. We saw that God created male and female to be right with him, to be in harmony with him in the Garden of Eden. Now we understand the fall of man and man's choice to go the way of the serpent or the way of the devil. When God said, surely you will not die, he contradicts God's words. And so we see man giving into that, falling from his place of being right with God. So when it talks about calling back or coming back or reconciling back to him, it's from that place where he was right with God, to have fallen away from God, and being brought back to that place of being right with God again. It says, so God is reconciling the world back to himself. And this is how he does it, in these ways, no longer counting people's sins against them. Well, how is it that God can say, you know what, your sin, I'm not counting that against you. I'm not holding that against you. You can be right with me. I have done everything necessary for you to be right with me. Well, how is it that God can do that? Does he just say, sin, boosh, be gone, no longer counting sin, doesn't matter what you ever did, no longer counting sin, the sin is gone. Is that the way he does it? No, it cost him significantly, and that's where we see in the John 3:16, he loved the world so that he gave his only begotten son. And what he did with his son, God made Christ to be the offering for our sin so we could be made right with God. So Jesus goes to the cross bearing the punishment of our sin on himself to death and to the grave, Jesus taking our sin upon himself as the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God. This is how it is that when it says those who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Those who believe in him are those who have said, you know what? I accept God's way of reconciling me back to himself. He made Jesus to be the sin offering for me. And that's the next, that's where it says that Jesus would be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God. And so therefore, we have the opportunity to make the appeal for God in these words, come back to God. Come back to God. It's like you have strayed from God. This is not the way God intended for you. Man was created to be right with God, but because of the sin of man, man has fallen away from God. So come back to God. That's the appeal. Come back to God. He has made the way possible for anyone who comes back to God to become a new person. That's where we started out with verse 17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. So people, here is the hope. Here is the reason that we have for our Christian hope, for the reality that when we die, we're going to heaven. When we die, we're going to live with the Lord because our sins have been forgiven because Jesus died for those sins. He was the offering. He paid the price for those sins. And so we who have put our trust in him, or we who believe in him, God is not counting our sins against us. So we can be made right with God. What an awesome and a positive and a powerful message. Now, we can be prepared with that and then watch the Spirit of God speak to the particular situation with the person that we're dealing with, the one that God has led us to share or have given us words to speak. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry about those encounters. We can be prepared with this simple, basic knowledge that we are forgiven by God because of Jesus, and we can have everlasting life. We're not going to die and go to hell. What a positive message we have to share. Let's look at some examples of the Spirit of God working through individuals, giving them the words to say, and we can see because of the text of the Scripture that it is the Spirit at work. In Acts chapter 4 and verses 8 through 14, we see the experience of Peter and John. Now, they're just coming off a tremendous miracle that took place with the lame man at the beautiful gate, and he's begging for alms, and Peter and John come up to the place. They're going to the temple for prayer, and they come to that gate, and the man is begging them for alms, and they say, we don't have silver or gold, but what we do have we'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And that man was raised up to walk. He was healed. That was the tremendous demonstration that they had. Again, when we talk about the Spirit of God equipping us and enabling us, we see the power of God being demonstrated through these disciples who had the faith and the courage, the boldness to say, God will heal you. Rise up and walk. That's what we have to share with you, something that will resolve your issue. Not just alms for this day, but something that will resolve that issue for you. And so that's what they're coming off of, but they're confronted by the authorities as a result of that. Remember, Jesus said, this is what's going to happen to you. You'll be put on trial. You'll be brought before rulers and authorities. And so they are before the Council of Israel. In Acts 4, starting with verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? So it starts right off saying Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit as he began to speak. Why was the commentary there? Obviously, for us to understand, he was doing this by the Spirit. This is why Jesus said, wait till in Jerusalem until you receive the source of power so that you can be effective witnesses. He's going to witness to these guys. He's doing it as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to give him the words to say, so the words he is saying is not his own words, but are those by the Spirit given to him. Again, this conversation was initiated as a result of a miracle, and he makes reference to that. And then he says in verse 10, he says, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scripture where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So here's the deal, and here's where we can say, you know what? Stop disqualifying yourself because you don't have all the knowledge of the scriptures. I've never been to seminary. I've never been to Bible school. I don't know my Bible all that well, so God certainly will not use me as a witness for him. What we need to understand is, like it says here, these were ordinary guys. They weren't trained in the scriptures. They had not gone to the rabbinical schools of the Torah or of the law or the Old Testament. And so these guys were not equipped in a normal or in an ordinary way. They were filled with the Spirit of God. So they were amazed at their boldness as a result of them being able to speak forth that way. But here was the thing that they took note of. These men had been with Jesus. Okay, so there you fly the red flag and say, okay, hold up, Pastor. They were with Jesus. That's why they were able to do what they did. They saw him do that. They, you know, they were witnesses of what he did. And so they saw him, so they were with Jesus. And so that they had a distinct advantage. We don't have that. Oh, yeah? We don't? Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I go, I will send the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, who is with you and will be in you. Jesus said it was to our advantage that we have the Spirit of God residing on the inside of us to equip us to be witnesses of his. And by the way, who says you can't spend time with Jesus? In your devotional life, in your prayer life, in your walking with him all day, every day, you can be present with him as he is present with you by his Spirit in you. So you can have that ordinary kind of conversation, that ordinary kind of spending time with Jesus, so that this comes off and is made note of by other people. Something different about him, something different about her. Look at the peace that they walk in. They're not fretting about stuff. What things that would cause other people to just go bonkers, these guys are at peace. What is it about that? They take note of the fact that, and then you have the opportunity to share the reason for the hope that you have, the reason for the fact that you're not anxious about the economy or other circumstances in your life, the reason for the peace that you have because of who is Lord in your life. All of these kinds of things give us opportunity for the hope, to share the hope that we have. And the scripture is just saying, number one, be ready and realize that the Spirit of God will give you the words to say. So don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. One more example. Amen. Thank you. One more example is Stephen's defense in Acts chapters 6 and 7. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things in there. Stephen does just an awesome job. And there again, you might say, wow, he must have had a lot of knowledge of history, because he goes through and gives the history of the whole, really, basically, of God's working with his people. And so there's a tremendous amount of information that's given there. But I don't think it's because he went to rabbinical school. He didn't. He was just a disciple. He was a follower. Again, another ordinary man, but here is the difference with him. He was full of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, it says, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. But one day, some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. They were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Cilicia, and the province of Asia. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. See, here was the advantage. He was speaking by the Spirit. The whole of what is given to him for him to confront these leaders with was given to him by the Spirit. He spoke, and they couldn't confront, none of them could stand against the wisdom and the Spirit with which Stephen spoke. Now again, there was amazing miracles that initiated this conversation. So let's remember that one thing will lead to another. Us displaying the power of God, manifesting the power of God, will often lead to the opportunity to share on his behalf. But they started that debate with him, and they couldn't stand against the wisdom or the Spirit that he spoke. Now, let's go on to verse 51, Acts 7, 51 through 55. Here's where he gets confronted. He says, you stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Now, you might look at this passage of Scripture and say, didn't you just say something about being respectful? Didn't you just say something about harmless as doves? Boy, he sure looks awfully confrontive. You know, sometimes the best demonstration of respect is to give someone the truth. That's why Ephesians speaks about speaking the truth in love. You still do it with respect. He's confronting them, but he's confronting them with an attitude of his heart is for them. Why do you keep resisting the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit has been poured out by God for you to be empowered, for you to receive the knowledge of the truth, for you to be equipped with the power of God and the fruit of the Spirit and all these things that God has imparted to us, his people. Look at how God has worked with the Israelites in the past, the Jews in the past. Look at how he has dealt with them, and you keep resisting him. You keep putting to death the prophets that have come with this message of God. And he's in his love, he's expressing this passion for these people to come to God. But they don't. They're stubborn in their heart. Just like you said, you stubborn people, heathen at heart and deaf to the truth, must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Verse 52. Name one prophet your ancestors did not persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobey God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. What was Jesus there standing for? Ready to receive Stephen into the kingdom of heaven, because Stephen was about to be put to death for his faith. And if you read on, you see he was stoned, but he says in the midst of the last breath that he has, he says, Father, forgive them. You can see his love, you can see his passion for these people because of his love, because of the love of God in him. That's why he's speaking this with this boldness, but that's why he's speaking the truth to them as well. He says, Father, forgive them. And Jesus is standing at the right hand of God saying, come on home, Peter, or excuse me, come on home, Stephen. Come on home. This is your place. Enough of what you've done here. You've proved yourself faithful. Come on home. And you know, when we consider the realities of why it is that we're reluctant to share our faith, oftentimes it's because we think someone will think bad of us. I don't think any of us ever even conceived the possibility of being stoned or being executed or being put to death for our faith. And we wimp out now the way it is with such little opposition. How is it that we would stand before a firing squad and say, if you do not renounce this Jesus, we are going to put you to death? You know, would we be able to say, Jesus, I'm coming home. forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And the love of God cover a multitude of sins, and us be ready for that situation where we face that kind of opposition. But in the meantime, be ready to share the hope that you have and the reality that that will positively impact other people. Now we also see, you know, like at the crucifixion of Jesus, we see the soldier, the soldier who stood there and said, "This truly was the Son of God." Just the way that you respond in situations will have an impact on people. You might not see it right away, but people will be affected by the words that you share and the character that you have. People will be affected by that, and you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, equipping you and empowering you to do that. With that, I want to conclude this message with, again, the things that we have gone through, the reality that we have received the power to be dynamic witnesses with authority, and that is the Spirit of God. He gives us truth, that He reveals to us the truth of Scripture. He enables us to express the character of God and the fruit of the Spirit, and to express the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit, to have an ability to pray effective prayers that are in line with God's will, even when we don't know how we ought to pray, because He gives us the Spirit to connect together with our spirit. And when we are praying with the Spirit, we are praying in the will of God and praying out His will. And led by the Spirit for direction and preparation for things to come, we've got these young people, and you've been hearing them describe the things that the Spirit of God is revealing to them, things about the future, the ways He's motivating them to serve Him and showing them what it is that He would have them to do. That comes as a result of the Spirit of God leading and guiding and giving direction and preparation for things to come. And then again, as we spoke today, to effectively communicate with words that are given to us by the Spirit of God. And all of this wraps up for us to be what the most awesome thing that God could ever ask anyone to do, and that is to represent Him, to represent the kingdom of God here in this earth. And He calls us ambassadors, people. What an awesome place that He has put us in. What an awesome responsibility that we have, that He has enabled us to be, to represent Him. He wants us to do it in an appropriate way. So let's be ambassadors for Christ with the authority of God by the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, let's pray. We are so thankful, Lord, for how You have dealt with us, Your people. First of all, none of us have ever done anything to deserve what You have given us. It is simply Your mercy and Your grace poured out to us, giving us the ability, Lord, to first of all be made right with You. That's because of what You have done through Jesus. And then to give us this message to share. It's such a positive, powerful message to share with others. Such good news that they can be reconciled, be made right with You because of what You have done through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to take this seriously and not wimp out when we see just a little bit of possible rejection or offense against us. Lord, we want to be able to be ready, as Your word says, ready to share the reason for the hope that we have, but also ready to receive the words given to us by the Spirit, because we are walking with You and because we are filled with the Spirit and living out that Spirit-filled life. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.